I look at this very wonderful account that is given to us in Luke, the 7th chapter. It is about a good man. Oh, whenever we examine his character, it is about a wonderful man that I believe all of us would want to imitate. The account that is recorded here in Luke, the 7th chapter, is only found one other place, and that being in the writing of Matthew in the 8th chapter. And we will look at least one passage in Matthew chapter 8 before we are finished. But right now, if you have your Bible open to Luke, the 7th chapter, I think you will be able to follow along as we go through these 10 verses. What is it that we can learn from this good man, this Roman centurion? There are a number of things that came to my mind as I read the account. First of all, the very event that is presented to us tells us that here was a man of wonderful compassion. Compassion. Oh, it does not really matter what the dictionary may say about it. You know what it means to have compassion. You're able to put yourself in the other person's place. You are able to feel the pain that that individual is feeling. You are able to experience the very same emotions, and you have a great, great desire to help that individual in whatever way that you can. What's going on here? Well, we are told that this centurion has a servant, and this servant is ill. No, he is not only just a little bit ill. The scripture says he is ready to die. Have you ever visited an individual on their deathbed? It just brings out all kinds of emotions, doesn't it? Now then, we would not, I guess, be surprised if we heard that this Roman soldier was concerned about, say, a member of his family. If it was his wife who was sick and who was near to death, I can understand why he would just be filled with pity and compassion and, oh, just wanting to do whatever he could do in order that his dear wife might be drawn back into better health. We're not talking about a son or a daughter or a wife or a brother or sister, a servant. I don't know what it is that would have caused this kind of relationship to exist between this high-up official and a lowly servant. But I do know this. I know that it indicates to me that here is a man that is capable of having great concern for others. In particular, a man who is of the very lowest class, a servant of his. The scripture says that this servant was very dear to him. And I think there is something else that we ought to recognize about his compassion. It was not just a passive thing with him. It was not a matter, for instance, as we sometimes do, whenever we hear of one that is desperately ill, and we say, "Oh, I'm so sorry." He did something about it. The thing that he did, as we will notice further, is he sent for Jesus. So his compassion is that which moved him. I don't know that he recognized at the time that the compassion that he had, that he was feeling, that it is one of the characteristics of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. An individual who has compassion is actually imitating the exact character of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. I turned to my concordance and I was amazed at the number of times that the word compassion is to be found in Scripture. But here is just a sampling, Psalm 86 and verse 15 in reference to God. "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth." And then I discovered right in the very chapter in the book of Luke that Jesus also displayed this same matter of compassion. In verse 13 of Luke 7 concerning the widow of Nain, "When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.'" What do we learn from the compassion of the centurion? You say, "Oh, Brother Tope, I just admire that man so much." And I think that is true. But do you know that this very same compassion that the Scripture tells us is the character of our Heavenly Father? Aren't you glad God is compassionate toward you? The very same compassion that Jesus exhibited over and over again while he was here on earth, this compassion that the centurion exhibited. Do you know what? You're to be just like them. Are you compassionate? Well, the Scripture teaches us, in order to be a follower of Jesus, in order to be a Christian in the truest sense of the word, we too have to have compassion. 1 Peter 3 and verse 8. Peter says, "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous." Oh, what a fine characteristic to bring into your life. For others, whenever they are trying to describe your character, saying, "Well, you know, what is outstanding about that brother in Christ? Or what is outstanding about that sister in Christ?" They're so compassionate. They just are so sorrowful whenever they hear of bad things that are happening to their brothers and sisters. They are full with care and with pity, and they want to do everything they can to try to help. Try to put compassion in your life. Well, That's a pretty full sermon within itself, but I'm not finished. What else do we see about this centurion? He loved his fellow man. Oh, you say, Brother Gene, now you're just repeating yourself because you talked about his compassion and the way he felt about his servant. No, right now, I am talking about what Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, even love your enemy, Matthew chapter 5. And who does this centurion love? He loved the Jewish nation. Did you notice that as Brother Mickey read? Verses 4 and 5. When they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Think with me just for a minute about who this centurion was and who the Jewish nation was. Well, the centurion was the conqueror. That's who he was. The Roman Empire had come in years before this time, and they had taken over, they had captured, they had made the state of Israel their possession. And boy, you don't have to read very far in history or through the Bible, for that matter, to know how the Jews felt about those Romans. And not only that, you don't have to read very far in the Bible or in secular history before you realize how cruel these Roman conquerors could be. I'll tell you, these were hardened soldiers. But we can't say that about this centurion. He loved the Jews. I'm not speaking about individual Jews today, but you know, whenever I read about the Jews of the first century and the Jewish nation, I have to tell you, there was not very much about them to love. When I read about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the hypocrisy of that nation as revealed especially by the Old Testament prophets, I realized that these Jews were oftentimes a hateful people. They called the Gentiles dogs. They did not have regard for the Gentiles, and they hardly had regard for each other frequently. But here is the conquering warrior, and he loves that nation. What did he do? He built them a synagogue. Now, I have no idea what that building would have cost. I have no idea whether that centurion would have been classified as a wealthy man or not. But I'll tell you, I can see the sacrifice that is involved there. I can see the generous spirit. Would you go to a foreign country and would you go ahead and take out of your own pocket and build them a place of worship? Well, that's what he did. That's what he did. To me, it is also significant that he was religious, because while he could have given the money to the poor, oh, there would have been a lot of other causes. There could have been people that have said, I need help. But he spent his money in order that they would have a place to worship God. What else? A man who is compassionate, a man who is filled with love for his fellow man, and now a man of great humility. How do you know that? Why, I don't ever think of Roman soldiers, especially captains in the army. I don't ever think of him and say, look how humble he is. How do we know that this centurion was humble? He did not even go to Jesus himself. Do you know what he did? He went to the elders of the Jews, and he said, would you go in my place? And they did. And a little later down, you will notice why he did that. In verse 6 and 7, if you read with me, Jesus went with them. And while he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. What an honor to have Jesus to come to your house. What an honor it would be as there was case after case of Jesus coming into a house where there were sick folks and his healing them. And here is a man who says, Lord, I'm not even worthy. The reason why I did not go myself to you is because I did not consider myself worthy. I don't want you to make that extra effort to come into my house because I'm not worthy. Do you think he was fooling? Do you think this was just false humility? You know, we've got some folks like that, don't we? They kind of hang their heads down and they say, oh, I'm not worth anything. And in the meantime, they're thinking how big and how good they are. That's not this man. I think that he was a man that had every right to say, come to my house. He understood authority. He understood what this meant to say something and someone would carry out your orders. The scripture says concerning him in verse 8, for I am a man placed under authority. There were others who were above him, who could give him orders. I'm under authority, but he says, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Oh, yes. Jesus knew that here was a man that while he had great authority, this man said, Lord, I know of the power and of the authority that you have. Where does that bring us to? I think it is very important. Otherwise, I wouldn't have spent my time this morning talking to you about this man. I think it is noteworthy that we learn of compassion. that we learn how it is that we are to have love for all of mankind, for our nation, for other nations. I think it is necessary that we all possess true humility. But do you know what the great point is that is made here? His faith. Let's read it. When Jesus heard these things, verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Of all of his followers, of all of the Israelites that had said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, this foreigner, this stranger, this enemy had greater faith than all of them. He exhibited it. He said, all you've got to do is say the word, and I know that your word will be accomplished. What faith? Do you have faith? What does that faith do for you? Let me back up a little bit, just for a minute, while you think about that. The scripture tells us in verse 3 that he had heard about Jesus. So far as I know, the centurion had never met Christ. Sight unseen, and yet such great faith is exhibited. But he had heard about Christ. And oh, I'm sure there were all kinds of reports that had gone out about the teachings of our Lord and about the miracles that he had performed and all of the signs and wonders. Well, he had heard about Christ. You know something else about his faith? He did not go to anybody else. He didn't turn to some other prophet. He did not go to the scribes and the Pharisees. He did not turn to anybody but to Jesus. And you see, that's what true faith does. Whenever you're in trouble, whenever you're having problems in your life, who can you turn to? Who do you turn to? Well, this man's great faith was such that he turned to Jesus. And he said, in effect, Lord, I know that you can do this. You don't even have to come in and touch my servant. You do not have to come into my house. You have such great power, such great authority. All you got to do is say the word. And he did. Jesus marveled, and his great faith was rewarded as your faith is rewarded. Centurion is an example for all of us. The lesson that you should take away today is I need to have more compassion. I know what it is. I've seen the example in this centurion. I need to fill my life up with compassion. I need to have greater love for my neighbor, for my fellow man. I need to love America more. I'm not talking about patriotism. I need to love the lost. I need to love everyone and to mean it. I need to be humble. I know my failures and my shortcomings, and they're many. I know the power and the greatness of God. And it is great and wonderful. And oh yes, I need to pray, Lord, increase my faith. I want to try to match the faith and the actions of this centurion. Matthew chapter 8 tells us that this centurion, in a very real sense of the word, he was a forerunner. He was foreshadowing, he was forerunning those that would come from the east and the west and would join in the kingdom of God. Listen, if you will, in the record, in Matthew chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." That was fulfilled in the New Testament. That was fulfilled in the first century. It is yet being fulfilled today, whether it is souls from the Orient, whether it is those from the frozen reaches of the north, whether it is from southern Africa or South America, throughout the world, there are those who said, "I want to come and sit down in the kingdom of God and join Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." I have a question for you. You knew I would. Would you like to come this morning and sit down in the kingdom of God with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Do you have that beginning faith where you can say, "I believe Jesus is the Son of God"? I want others to know of my faith, because whoever confesses me before men, Jesus said, I will confess before the Father in heaven. Are you tired of the burden of your sin? Are you ready to turn away from religious error, from immorality, from anything that would hinder you in following Christ? Would you be baptized this morning? That means to be immersed in water. The scripture says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be condemned." Or are you one of God's children and your faith has grown weak? Your love for the Lord and others has diminished. Would you want to come back again and sit down in the kingdom of God? We sing a song. Let us help you if we can. Please come.